Scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their rewards in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
マタイの福音書6章5節から13節まで。また祈る時には偽善者たちのようであってはいけません。彼らは人に見られたくて街道や通りの四つ角に立って祈るのが好きだからです。まことにあなた方に告げます、彼らはすでに自分の報いを受け取っているのです。あなたは祈る時には自分の奥まった部屋に入りなさい。そして戸を閉めて隠れたところにおられるあなたの父に祈りなさい。そうすれば隠れたところで見ておられるあなたの父があなたに報いてくださいます。また祈る時、異邦人のように同じ言葉をただ繰り返してはいけません。彼らは言葉数が多ければ聞かれると思っているのです。だから彼らの真似をしてはいけません。あなた方の父なる神はあなた方がお願いする先にあなた方に必要なものを知っておられるからです。だからこう祈りなさい。天にいます私たちの父よ、皆が崇められますように、御国が来ますように、御心が天で行われるように地でも行われますように、私たちの日ごとの糧を今日もお与えください。私たちの負い目をお許しください。私たちも私たちに負い目のある人たちを許しました。私たちを試みに合わせないで悪からお救いください。国と力と栄はとこしえにあなたのものだからです。アーメン。
Good morning. Happy New Year again. What better way to start the new year than to be in the place of worship? Amen. Today I want to continue talking about practicing righteousness, and specifically on the practicing praying and growing in praying. But before I talk about praying, last week I talked about fasting. You remember that if you were here? If you weren't here, go ahead and listen to that on our website. But the importance of fasting and how Jesus taught that there are three essential righteousness that we should be practicing, and that was giving, praying, and fasting. And that I believe in most churches or most American Protestant churches, fasting isn't something that's regularly practiced. I don't know if you are a regular faster, but it seems like the Lord expects us to fast. I don't know if just as frequently as praying or just as frequently as giving, but fasting is a lifestyle of a Christian believer that is considered righteous in His eyes. And so to start off this new year, I wanted to call a corporate fast, which is just as a community, we give up something for 21 days and pray. Whether it's giving up food, giving up secular music, giving up certain types of food, giving up Facebook if you're into that kind of thing, whatever you're into, giving up coffee. I've heard, you know, people give up coffee for 21 days. In order to consecrate ourselves, which means separate ourselves in order to seek the Lord. And before I talk about praying, because fasting and praying goes hand in hand. Without praying, fasting is almost like starving yourself. You know? To talk more about praying, my wife, Mandy, is going to share a little bit, 5 to 10 minutes about fasting, more about fasting. And if you have more questions about fasting, please feel free to ask me or my wife. Mandy will share about fasting, and then I'll talk about praying after she shares about fasting. So Mandy, would you please come up?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'll just go ahead and open us up in prayer, and then we'll get started. So Jesus, we thank you so much for your blood, and God, we just thank you for just the presence of your Holy Spirit here. And Holy Spirit, we invite you just to come with your great power and with just revelation of the great love of our Father. And God, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come with wisdom and revelation today, that you would help us understand whatever it is you wish for us to understand today about yourself. And we just bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So I apologize. I didn't make enough copies. But Toshi, I know for sure you got missed and a couple other people. But we'll email you the different notes that we're passing out today, too. But I just wanted to give you guys a little more information on the fast that we're going to be starting on Monday. And so I handed out, this has two pages to it, and sorry it's really small, but I just wanted to conserve on the paper, but just the first page, I had just kind of put a passage there that you guys can study on your own, but Isaiah 58 is a great passage just to look at before we get started with fasting, and Isaiah 58 is one of my favorite passages just because it really gets to the core of fasting. It's not a matter of our outward appearance and looking righteous, but it's a matter of the heart and allowing the Holy Spirit to show us things within ourselves that need to change. So you can take a look at that on your own time. Today I just wanted to go into a little bit of detail about what fasting is and what the purpose of it is. So if you look on the second page, today I'm going to go over the F and the A of fast, and then maybe next week I'll go over the S and the T, but it's really important as we get started on fasting that we realize that it's not just a matter of growing in self-discipline, even though that is a good thing to grow in, but and self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit, so there is a lot of self-control involved in fasting. However, it's really important that as we begin to fast, that we look at it as, God, what do you want to give me? And what, so kind of how like a little kid, we might have something in our hand, and I just feel like we all have something in our hand that we're holding on to, even though God's saying, oh, just give it to me, just entrust it to me, let me have that. And and I feel like a lot of times we hold on to things, but then when we give them to the Lord, he has something much better in return to give to us. And so, when I was in seminary, I really liked coffee a lot, and school was really hard, and I didn't get much sleep, and so I depended on coffee a lot to function and to study. And I remember the Holy Spirit just asking me to fast and to give that up, and it was very painful, but I know that the Lord rewarded me, and I remember I was really struggling financially at that time, but at the end of, the Lord had asked me to give up coffee for 1 week and just to really just spend more time in prayer, but also to help me realize how dependent I was becoming on coffee instead of the strength of His Spirit. And at the end of that 1 week, I had gotten an $800 check in the mail. and so I guess, I don't know, I just feel like every time we give something up to the Lord, He gives us something so much greater in return, you know? And that's just one little example, but as we start our fast, and hopefully you've had a little bit of time just to ask the Lord if there is anything that He would like you to fast or to give up. Don't look at it so much as what I'm giving up, but look at it more so like, God, what is it that you want to give me? What is it that you want to release to me in these 21 days? And some of you may be praying for salvation of a loved one. Some of you might be praying for just grace in breaking addictions or bad patterns. Some of you might just really be hungering for just deeper intimacy with the Lord, which is hopefully the desire of all of our hearts. But just a few verses on feasting. So I feel like the most important part of a fast is to look at it as a chance to feast on the presence of the Lord. And so as we give something up, don't focus on what you're giving up, but focus on what God wants to give you. And Matthew 5:6 is one of my favorites. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And I just think that that's such an amazing promise, that when we desire to become more like God, when we hunger and thirst, He will give us what it is we're hungering and what we're thirsting for. So it's important that it's a good thing, whatever we're hungering and thirsting for. Yeah. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And so you can look at some of those other verses on your own, but Aki had just touched on this a little bit already, but just as we begin to fast, make sure that you take time to be with the Lord as we fast. And so fasting is really just giving something up and expecting something in return. And it's hard for us to receive from the Lord if we don't take any time to be with Him. So it's just a diet if we're not anticipating something from Him. So and I feel too, kind of our body's natural response to less food and less sugar and less caffeine a lot of times is we don't have as much energy. But that really is one of the main points behind fasting too, is just allowing ourselves to feel weak so that we draw on the strength of the Lord. So, So just even as you plan ahead, if you're wanting to participate in the fast, just even planning ahead scheduling-wise, and just know you might want to just kind of schedule in a little bit more rest and downtime as well. And just a second thing I wanted to just briefly mention is alignment. And as we fast, it's really important that our heart's intention is to really get in alignment with the Lord. And one of the ways that we do that is just asking Him just to show us any areas of unrepentant sin in our heart, any areas of unforgiveness in our heart, just any relationships that need to be reconciled before the Lord. And so Psalm 26:2, it says, "Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart." And so just as we begin to fast, if you take time to fast, to feast on the Lord, also take time to allow the Lord just to examine your heart. And that's what it's really all about. And as you read Isaiah 58 on your own, hopefully you'll have time to do that this week, just to, allow the Lord just to show you the deeper things of the heart. And just on the last page that I gave you guys, I won't read through all this, but I know that this is really basic Christianity, but I think a lot of times we still miss what is most important, you know, and that is to love God and love other people. And Psalm 51 is one of my favorite psalms. It says, "Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." And just as you fast, I would just encourage you to just kind of ask the Holy Spirit if there's any areas of unrepentant sin within our own hearts. And, you know, a lot of times our sin, due to our busy lifestyle, we don't recognize that we may be hurting, offending the Holy Spirit or grieving the Holy Spirit in certain areas of our life, just because we're so busy that we don't take time to ask Him to search us like we should. And so as you're fasting, just really spend time with the Lord. Just, I know, you can lay on your bed, you can lay on your couch, just be like, "Holy Spirit, show me show me if there's anything that hinders me from just receiving the fullness of the love of God, from walking in deeper intimacy with the Lord. And secondly, just forgiving others that have wronged you. And Isaiah 58:3-4, it says, "Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. Your fastings end in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fist. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high." And then verses 9-8 go on to say, "Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, 'Here am I.' If you do away with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday." And so, just as we come before the Lord in fasting, just even asking him, "God, do I have unforgiveness towards anyone? Is there bitterness or contempt in my heart towards anyone?" And unforgiveness really hinders our prayer life. And so I thought that was kind of a good segue for me to pass it over to Aki here. But Scripture is very clear that if we do not forgive others, that there's a wall that's put up between us and the Lord. And so as we go into a time of fasting, I would encourage you, even before you lay like your heart's request and desires before the Lord, to ask the Lord, "God, is there anyone that I'm harboring unforgiveness or offense towards?" And that's a really good prayer to pray every day, to be honest. Because we're very easily offended in our nature, just in our human nature. We're very easily offended. And I feel a lot of times we're even more easily offended by our brothers and our sisters in Christ, and it really hinders the Spirit of God from flowing in a body. And so, especially since this is a corporate fast, I will really encourage you to just ask the Holy Spirit if there's anyone that you have offense towards, that you have bitterness towards, and it might even be hidden. And so that's why it's good for us just to sit before the Lord and give him time to speak to our hearts. And and I really believe that as a when we corporately fast and as we just forgive any offenses that we have towards each other here within the body, that it really invites the presence of God to come. God's presence can't come where there's bitterness and slander, and but the Lord, the Holy Spirit is so welcomed in a place where we're willing to forgive each other and release our offenses to the Lord. So on that note, I'll hand it over to my husband.
Good stuff, huh? Just a word of precaution, though. If you are planning on doing a fast, and it's depending on how intense it is, please see a doctor so that you don't get sick or malnutrition, or some of you may need just see your doctor if you're going to do an intense fast. I mean, if it's just, "I'm going to fast TV," you don't need to see your doctor. If you're like, "Oh, I'm going to do like I'm not going to eat food for 21 days," see your doctor before you do that, okay? And the Lord will reward you. He said he will reward you. That's what God's word said. And we're continuing to talk about practicing righteousness, and this comes from chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I want to just say this, that when we practice these righteousness, it's a progressive thing that it grows. You're not going to be great at it first. You're not going to be a great faster or a great prayer warrior or a great giver, but it has to start somewhere. And so if you plan on doing this 21-day fast, you might mess up. And if you do, that's fine. Say you committed to fasting coffee for 21 days. You might just mess up. If you mess up, don't quit. Just say, "Lord, forgive me. I'm going to get back on my feet and continue for 21 days, trying not to drink coffee," or whatever it is. And we're talking about practicing our righteousness, and I just want to, I feel like I have to repeat this, I've said this before, but righteousness has two aspects, at least two aspects to it, right? One aspect of righteousness is, it's from God. It is the righteousness of God, and it is the righteousness from God. And that you cannot earn. No matter how much you pray, no matter how much you fast, no matter how much you give, that righteousness cannot be earned. That is a gift of God that you simply need to receive. The righteousness of God, which was paid by the blood of Christ. The sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ. But a different type of righteousness, different aspect of righteousness, is a righteousness that comes through obedience. And this is the one that we need to practice. And these are the things we're talking about. Fasting, we need to practice fasting. And praying, we need to practice praying. And as Matthew 6:5, it says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and on the street corner so that they may be seen." So that they may be seen. I just lost my place, sorry. That's why. So they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now see, again, Jesus is talking about, okay, how do you receive your reward? And whenever you pray, there's a reward. And when he says, when you pray, he's expecting you to pray. And I'm sure all of you pray in some way or fashion already. But he says, when you pray, you're not to do certain things. One thing is, when you're praying, you're not supposed to do it with the motivation of wanting others to see you pray. So I want to just say, our private prayer life should be more vibrant than our public prayer life. You know, some people are able to pray wonderful, long, beautiful, articulate prayers in public, but when it comes to their private prayer life, is not that great. And nobody knows. Only God knows. But our private prayer life should be much greater than our public prayer life. And that's to say, you know, Jesus isn't saying don't ever pray in public here. That's not his point. His point is, I want your prayer life to be more private than it is public. See, the thing is, Jesus was talking to a culture, a religious culture, which has great benefits. But one of the drawbacks or setbacks or one of the problems of having a religious culture is that people start exploiting religious practices for their own benefits, right? So, for example, if you're living during this time and you're a business owner, say you're a business owner, and say you go to the street corner and you pray marvelous prayers every time it's the time of prayer. People might see you and say, wow, that guy is a righteous person. I'm going to do business with that guy. And so he receives a reward because people think he's a righteous man. And so people started doing that. They started doing wonderful, magnificent, you know, eloquent prayers in the street corners, hoping they'd be seen and hoping people would recognize them as a righteous person and hoping people would do business with them. Or, you know, there were aspects like that in the religious cultures that we probably don't have to worry about, right? Today, you pray on the corner, people look at you weird and might not do business with you. It might be the opposite. So there is a time and place for praying in public. And it is important that we do if the Lord tells us to. Don't say, oh, I'm going to lose my reward if people see me praying. That's not the point. And fasting, again, it's not the point that if people see you fasting, you're going to lose your reward. That's not the point. You know, there's going to be a situation, probably. Say you're fasting sweets. And you go to somebody's home and they bring brownies out. You don't have to lie. You don't have to say, oh, I don't like brownies. You know, when you love brownies. You could just say, well, I'm fasting brownies. You're not going to lose your reward. Just say, I'm fasting brownies. And they might ask you why. And you tell them. That's actually letting your light shine forth when you do stuff like that. When people ask you, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm praying. Oh. You know, because that's not normal these days. In a culture, in the Jewish culture where Jesus is talking, praying was normal, fasting was normal, and it didn't bother anybody, or it wasn't a real testimony or a witness. In the day and age we live in, praying and fasting will be a testimony. And people might ask you, what are you doing? And that will be a good way to just, you know, let your light shine. So if people find out you're fasting or praying, you're not going to lose your reward. You will lose your reward, though, if you go around saying, oh, I'm fasting, you know, doing something like that. I remember one time, just one more example, when I was a younger Christian, I would pray. And when my brother saw me praying, I would get really upset. Like, I wouldn't say anything, but it would bother me that he caught me praying. I think in the back of my mind, I thought maybe, oh, I'm going to lose my reward. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. If people catch you praying, if they catch you reading the Bible, if they catch you fasting, don't worry. Let your light shine. But in terms of doing things in secret, Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 6:6, he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, your private prayer life should be greater than your public prayer life. And when it comes to a private prayer life, have an inner room. It's very helpful. And what do I mean by an inner room is have a place designated to pray. If you're serious about growing in prayer, have a place you have set apart for praying. It's very helpful. You know, for the longest time, I didn't have a place I designated for prayer. Today I do, by the grace of God. And actually, it started not because I saw this passage and said, I need to find a place of prayer. And it didn't even start because I heard somebody preach that you should have a place of prayer. It started because, it's kind of embarrassing, but I'll share it with you anyways. It started because I was reading an article on how to lose weight, because I need to lose some weight. And it said, one of the things you need when you lose weight is sunlight, or something like that. I don't know, it's something about the sun, it helps your metabolism, I don't know, is there anyone, huh? Vitamin D is helpful in losing weight, and I'm like, you know, I don't get enough sun. And so I started to pray outside, not in my inner room. I mean, I may be doing the exact opposite of what Jesus is telling me to do. I'm in my outer room. But it is a place I have designated to pray, and it's outside. And I started doing that for selfish reasons, to lose weight, you know. But God blessed me. He met me there. And today, that's where I go to pray. I go outside and I pray at a designated place where I get the maximum amount of sun. But the thing is, the first couple times I did that, it didn't really make a difference. And the first couple times you do it, if you don't have it and you're starting it, it won't make a difference. But if you do it for a month, weeks after weeks and month after month, suddenly it makes all the difference in the world for some reason. I look at that place sometimes when I'm watching TV, at my place of prayer, and sometimes I feel like, oh, and it reminds me of praying. It reminds me of meeting the Lord, or it reminds me of God's faithfulness. And so if you don't have an inner room, Jesus is here encouraging and giving us, hey, it's very helpful. Jesus himself had a couple places, I believe, he liked to pray. One of those places was the garden, right? The garden in Gethsemane. He used to go there. That was his place of prayer. Toshi, did you go visit that place? Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I wonder how consecrated that place is because Jesus went there and prayed a lot. But if you don't have an inner room, if you don't have somewhere to go, I encourage you, set a place apart for you to pray. It'll make all the difference when you start growing in praying. When you see that place of prayer, it'll remind you of prayer and you're like, okay, maybe I should go and meet with God. But I believe what God wants when he says go into your inner room and pray to him in secret is he's talking more about intimacy rather than not being seen by other people. He wants that one-on-one time with you. He wants to meet with you. And so I encourage you, if you don't have a vibrant prayer life, set apart a place, and you know some people say a set time of prayer is helpful. I don't have a set time of prayer, but if you're that kind of person, have a set time to pray and meet with God. Hey, at first, if this is your first time doing it, don't be discouraged if it's just 1 or 2 minutes. But as you grow, it will grow. The quality time will soon enough become both quality and quantity. But you have to start with quality first. And then let quantity grow. Jesus goes on to say when he's talking about practicing prayer, and when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition. Or it says in the NIV, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. So praying, and I'm going to talk about praying more as we fast and pray more. I'll be talking more about prayer, but one of the things we need to make sure we don't do is make prayer an obligation. Although it is something we should prioritize, but when it becomes simply and merely an obligation to do, it becomes meaningless. Prayer should always, always be meaningful. That's not to say there won't be times when you pray and it's just hard. There will be times when you have to press on and be disciplined to pray. There will. But it should never be just a religious obligation where you check off your list and just say, blah, 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 blah. Babbling. Repetitious word. And of course, some religions, they just repeat a certain phrase over and over. That can be helpful. I'm not saying that's never helpful, but that shouldn't be your prayer life. That shouldn't define your prayer life. Let me put it that way. Because sometimes it is helpful to just repeat a phrase, scripture, and meditate upon it. But it shouldn't just be repeating a certain thing and say, okay, my prayer time is over. But it should be a meaningful time of communication. And look what he says. It says, it doesn't have to be long either. Prayer could be short. Prayer can be a time of just saying a few words and waiting upon the Lord to speak to you. It does not have to be long to be effective. In fact, Jesus, some of the most powerful, effective prayers Jesus said were pretty short. Stop. and the wind stopped. Lazarus, come forth. You know, and Lazarus was raised from the dead. If I was going to pray for someone to be risen from the dead, it'd probably be like an hour long. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. That was it. Very short, powerful, effective. But again, as we grow in prayer, listen, our quality time will also become quantity time. It will. Trust me. Jesus says something interesting in verse 8. He says, do not be like the hypocrites, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And I just want to say this. Your Heavenly Father knows you intimately. He cares for you. He loves you. He loves hearing your voice. Don't take this verse to mean, oh, He already knows what I'm going to say, so why say it anyways? But He knows what you're going to say, yes. Well, He actually doesn't say He knows what you're going to say, but He does know what you said you're going to say. It actually says He knows what you need. But He still likes to hear us ask for it. But in the opposite though, flipping it around, prayer is a time not just simply to give Jesus or give God our list of things we need and want, but it can also be a time where we can learn what He cares for. Jesus says, God knows your needs. He cares for you. Now, how selfish do we look if we don't know nothing about God's needs or God's concerns or what's on God's heart? Right? You know, you go to your parents or you go to, you know, somebody. Hey, I need this, 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 and this. a healthy relationship is, well, you know what He needs too. I'm not saying God has needs. But He definitely has certain things He wants done here on earth. Do you know those things? Do you know what's on His heart? He knows what's on your heart. Prayer can be a time to figure out what's on His heart, just as much as you give to what's on your heart. That'll be another sermon, because when it comes to prayer, we think mostly in terms of prayer as the only form of praying, when in fact prayer is just a category of praying, if that makes sense. To make help you make more sense is, when it comes to praying and categorizing it, there's petitions, intercessions, thanksgiving, praying in the Spirit. They all fall under praying, and prayer is just one of those. And I'll talk about more about that in the following weeks. But I do want to say that when we pray, it's not simply to give God all of our cares or all of our felt needs. But it is a time to communicate with the Lord and let the Lord communicate with you. And as we fast for these 21 days, what we're doing is we're trying to separate ourselves so that we could hear Him clear. And we could, like what Mandy says, we could align with Him. And remember, there is a reward in it. It's not just to do it, just to do it, just so you have righteous brownie points. But God is always talking about when you pray, there's a reward. When you fast, there's a reward. And there's a reward waiting for you if you will commit yourself to praying fast. Now, what that reward is, I don't know. If it's 800 bucks like Mandy, heck, I'm going to pray every week like that, you know? But it's not. It's not 800. I can't promise anyone 800 bucks. But I can promise you, it will go far beyond what you thought you needed or hoped for. To help you and to help us corporately fast, this is not my list, but this is the list I use to pray. And I have this printed out for those of you who are committing to pray and fast. And for this week, if you don't have email, or you're not accessible to a computer, there's at least 10 copies in the back. Go ahead and pick one up. And what it is, and I'll just share with you real quick, this list was created by a person that created a ministry where there's 24-hour prayer and worship. And so he knows a little bit about praying. But the acronym he uses, and this is his list, is called Fellowship, F-E-L-L-O-W-S-H-I-P. And that's to remind us praying is fellowshipping with God. And he uses every letter of that word for a specific prayer. So F, he prays for the fear of God. E, he prays for endurance. L, he prays for love. The other L, he prays for the light of glory. And this, I pray this every day, pretty much. And for this week, if you want to pray fast, I encourage you, pray this every day. You could also pray the Lord's Prayer too. That's a good prayer to pray. But if you need more ideas, and if you want to grow in prayer, go ahead and pray this list. It's a great list. It has scripture verses to tell you why you're praying what you're praying. But it's pretty much praying some of the revealed will of God in scripture over your life to strengthen your inner person. And I want all of us, the first week, to really be consecrated and strengthen our inner man through prayer and fasting. And as we do that, I believe that will set the tone for 2014. And speaking of the tone for 2014, I'm not a prophet. I try to look up prophecies for 2014 because that's what people like to do. You know, Marilyn and Wayne, they sent me Kenneth Copeland's link. I read that, you know, and he was talking about this year is a year of increase with it. A year of if you seek, ask and knock, the door will be open, you will find and you will be filled. And you know, that's a great promise. You don't have to be a prophet to say that. I mean, he's just saying it'll be increased. But that's a scriptural. That's what God already said. But that's my message. I'm going to turn this off.